We at Daleville Christian Church believe it is important that you know what it is that you do believe. And so part of every worship service is an affirmation of our faith, taken directly from God's Word. The affirmation of faith for this Sunday is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The reading of God's Word today is from Luke chapter 21, verses 29 through 33. Jesus told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Last week I mentioned the power of the Word of God. I mentioned the power of the Word of God in creation. God spoke, God's spoken word created. The power of the Word of God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was Jesus' word that turned the persecutor Saul into the preacher Paul. We hear Jesus' own words today. My words shall never pass away. I have mentioned from this pulpit before that Christianity has survived just about every political system that man has devised on this planet. Christianity has survived Roman emperors, European kings, despots, murderers, cruel men, evil men, heathen tyrants, godless rulers. One of my professors at seminary liked to joke that the church has even survived her pastors. Christianity has survived wars, political suppression, being outlawed, Bibles banned, Bibles burned, Bibles in our own English language have been outlawed. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." So these days, I am not worried about the survival of the Christian faith. And because of Jesus' promise, I'm not concerned about the fate of Jesus' words. However, I can be concerned about the American form of government, this experiment we have in liberty, freedom, and the promise that people of the United States can govern themselves without a king, without an emperor, or without a dictator to rule over them. I am more concerned about the freedom of the Christian faith rather than the survival of the Christian faith. I'm more concerned about the freedom of the Christian faith than I am with the survival of the Christian faith. You and I can be concerned about our government. We should be good citizens of our government, exercising our rights as free citizens. I, as a pastor, particularly value our form of government because for over 200 years, Jesus' church has been free from government persecution. Still today, you and I meet together because we want to. We meet together this morning because we decided to. We meet together this morning and there is no government official present to keep an eye on us or otherwise be concerned about what I might say about the government today or about the government's leaders. Today, Memorial Day weekend, we are called to remember those who gave their lives for the promise of our government, a government of the people, by the people, for the people. Those are the words of President Abraham Lincoln in his Gettysburg Address, considered by many to be the greatest speech ever made. And remember what Lincoln said. Lincoln was commemorating the dead soldiers of the Battle of Gettysburg in the American Civil War. The Civil War had not concluded by that point of his address. Lincoln finished his famous address saying that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from the earth. We have Memorial Day at all as a result of the American Civil War dead. The Civil War was a terrible victory for freedom. Indeed, one of the dead we might remember today lived just 3 miles from here in the little burg of Crossroads. He was a preacher's son, Augustus Safford. His friends called him Gus Safford. When Gus was only 20 years of age, he had already been in a couple of battles in the American Civil War, marched throughout the states to Mississippi. He was shot dead in a battle south of Vicksburg, Mississippi. 70 other Union soldiers also died in the battle that day. Gus Safford, age 20. That battle was just the beginning of the campaign to take the city of Vicksburg, Mississippi, from the rebel slave states. The fall of Vicksburg to the Union would place the entire Mississippi River in Union hands. Gus Safford was from Salem Township, Delaware County, Indiana. Gus's family had come from Virginia just 20 years before. Virginia, a slave state, the state most involved in the slave trade, but Gus's family supported the Union. Those soldiers in Gus Safford's unit also fought to free black people from slavery. We don't know much about slavery today. We can barely imagine it. Many slaves were forbidden to learn to read. I've read heart-rending stories of black slaves who worked to learn to read on pain of death. If they were caught learning to read or being taught to read, it could mean death for them and their teacher. But these slaves understood that being able to read and write was the key to freedom. Do you hear that? Learning to read and write was the key to freedom, the key to being free. I teach the third graders here in the sanctuary every year that there are two institutions, two buildings that pioneers in the Midwest wanted to build first and foremost. Usually the first building built by pioneers was a school. You should hear the moans and groans from the third grade children. But they don't know. I know. I was a child once too. They don't know that their education is a key to freedom. The second building that pioneers in the Midwest wanted to build was a church. A church of the Christian faith where the Bible would be read. The Bible, a book full of reports of a God who wanted to free his own people from slavery and give them a place to live. So many slaveholders not only forbade reading, many slaveholders also forbade worship services and the reading or hearing of the Bible, the Word of God. That was not true everywhere, but it was true in many places. We are to remember Gus today, a very young man who died so people could read. So people could read the Bible that Gus's father taught and preached. But Gus wasn't the only one who died in the American Civil War from this area, and you know that. Gus wasn't the only Union soldier to die so that others could read and read the Bible and worship. It might surprise you to know, I was surprised to learn, that early in our nation's history, even before we had won our freedom from Great Britain, while we were still legally only a protesting colony of England, our Continental Congress ordered the purchase and distribution of Bibles to the colonies. A shortage of Bibles was created when the War for Independence started because there was no trade with England. Most of the English Bibles were printed in England. The Second Continental Congress had a committee that reported the use of the Bible is so universal and its importance so great that the committee recommends that Congress will order the Committee of Commerce to import 20,000 Bibles. Hear the words of the Second Continental Congress again. The use of the Bible is so universal and its importance so great that the committee recommends that Congress will order the Committee of Commerce to import 20,000 Bibles. The Bibles were to come from Holland, from Scotland, and elsewhere into the parts of the states of the Union colonies. And the Congress gave such an order on September 11, 1777, just over a year following the Declaration of Independence. The president of the Continental Congress was Elias Boudinot, who also was the chief founder of the American Bible Society and the first president of the American Bible Society. The First Continental Congress, years before the Second Continental Congress met, had begun their very first meeting with prayer, led by Reverend Jacob Duché, and they prayed that God give the Congress wisdom to settle things on the best and surest foundations. Now, did the purchase of Bibles make us all Christians? Or did the purchase of Bibles make America a Christian nation? Or did beginning the Continental Congress first meeting, beginning with prayer, make us all Christians? No. No, it did not. But see how important the Word of God was to the first leaders of our nation. It was James Madison who said, "We have staked the future of all of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government according to the Ten Commandments of God." He's referring to the Bible, words of the Bible. "We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government according to the Ten Commandments of God." James Madison's name is familiar to you. He was our fourth president of the United States. He is hailed as the father of the Constitution for his pivotal role in drafting and promoting the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which allows us to meet here so freely this morning. James Madison wanted freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, which is what too many people claim to want today. Too many people reject the Word of God, which the very same Bible, the one they reject, declares their divine image, declares their divine creation, and declares their divine salvation through Jesus Christ. Our own Gus Safer died so all Americans could read the Bible and live by it. Gus Safer's company commander wrote to the family telling them of their loss and of the loss to Gus's unit, writing He was everything. Gus was everything that constitutes a Christian and a soldier. Even our Liberty Bell has a Bible inscription on it from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. Proclaim liberty through all the land to all the inhabitants thereof. It is believed that the idea for this inscription came from Speaker of the Pennsylvania Assembly, Isaac Norris, possibly to commemorate the Pennsylvania's charter, which granted religious liberties and political self-government to the people of Pennsylvania. There were other casualties from the American Civil War from our area. I want to share a little bit about them with you. I've been fascinated by their stories. And mind you, if you think Daleville is a little no place today, it was really only a train whistle stop before the Civil War. One old resident after the war said that when he moved to Daleville, it had fewer than 20 houses. At the Battle of Missionary Ridge on November 25, 1863, Ephraim Forrest was wounded. Great name, huh? Ephraim Forrest. Ephraim Forrest received a wound so grievous it would lead to his medical discharge from the army. Ephraim Forrest would move to Daleville following the Civil War, would participate in the local veterans organization, and his family would be members of Daleville Christian Church. One of his sons would serve as the Sunday school superintendent here. Another son would serve as Daleville postmaster. Another family of this area were the James Stewart family, no known relation to our Barbara Stewart. James Stewart and his wife were Salem Township pioneers. They were a part of Daleville Christian Church from the beginning. Their names are on the plaque of the original charter members of this congregation here in the sanctuary, on the wall, and I have posted James Stewart's photo next to his name on the wall here this morning. They sent two sons to the American Civil War to fight for the Union and to end slavery. They fought for freedom. James Stewart himself had been born in Kentucky, a slave state. But one of their sons, James Marion Stewart, was killed in combat in the Civil War in 1862, and then his brother was called to serve. Imagine the pain of having lost one son to the effort to have a second son called. The family history says that the men of the family were cutting wheat at Jonas Shoemaker's farm. Henry was binding the wheat, and his father was driving the reaper. It was the summer of 1863, and Confederate Cavalry General John Hunt Morgan was raiding in Indiana, so recruits were urgently needed to defend the state, since other soldiers were at the front. Family history states that Uncle Jonas came and took Henry's place binding wheat and told Henry they had sent for him to go into the service. I don't know if Henry Stewart helped chase General Morgan out of Indiana, but Henry Stewart much later was wounded in a cavalry skirmish. While recuperating in a hospital, he wrote home, "I don't think I will ever have the right use of my shoulders." All of these men I've spoken of today have passed away. For many, even their memory has passed away. There are no family members here to remember them. Praise the Lord, there is still a Daleville Christian Church here to remember them. Praise God. Praise God, there is still a Daleville Christian Church here to remember them. And to remember the freedom these men fought for has not yet passed away. And God's word, which is still free in this country, will never pass away. God's word will never pass away, free or not. But we prefer free. But the Stewarts were among those who helped establish this congregation in order to profess, to keep, and to promote the word of God. Men and women don't usually fight for service organizations or community clubs. Those men fought for the freedoms we enjoy. Some died. some were prisoner, some were wounded, some returned forever changed psychologically, if not physically, by that violent, murderous struggle for the freedoms that we have. Now it is our turn. It is up to us to hand over to another generation the freedoms they fought for. They and generations of soldiers since that generation first took up the rifle. We remember them all today. Let freedom ring, so that God's word too will not just endure, but endure freely until the time that the Lord brings all things to an end. Amen.